This episode is brought to you by Just Egg. It's a butter egg made from plants. Bring more customers in your doors with Just Egg. Start with a free sample at ju.st/hrn.
This week on Meet and Three, we rethink surplus by exploring how innovators are promoting sharing mindsets and responding to excess in creative ways.
The whole life cycle of food would be the third largest greenhouse gas emitter behind China and the United States if it were a country.
You know, in the age of COVID, where a lot of those institutional processors did grind to a halt and a lot of farms had to dump milk in Pennsylvania, even while supermarket cases were bare, the organic market stayed strong.
They source all of these ingredients, they do all of this work, and then they just boil it for a few minutes and then they throw it away.
Tune in to Meat & Three, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello and welcome to Why Food, a podcast about entrepreneurs, innovators, and career changers. I'm your co-host, Ethan Frisch.
And I'm your co-host, Valerie Lomas.
And we have a very cool guest to introduce you to, somebody who Valerie has a personal and professional connection to that we are going to dig into a little bit today. Nicole January is a producer and director and the founder of January First Inc. Nicole, thanks for joining us.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, guys. I'm super excited to be here.
Oh, we are so excited to have you. And so I met you, Nicole, several months ago because the Food Network was producing an original digital show called Valerie Bakes Your Questions.
Ooh-hoo.
And yes, and the producers from the Food Network side actually linked us and kind of paired us together to create this show. So can you maybe tell us a little bit about how it is that you got involved? Because the premise of the show is on social media, often people ask a lot of questions. People ask a lot of questions about baking, especially like during the holidays, so like Easter and Christmas and Mother's Day. And so the premise of the show is, if people have questions about baking, let's answer them while we also make some really fun recipes. So, Nicole, how was it that you got involved in this production and you brought such an amazing creative vision and aesthetic to the production? So we're going to talk a little bit about that also.
Well, thanks, Val. I mean, it was super exciting. The Discovery team kind of found me through mutual engagements, and we had like this project going on. And one of the first things that they thought would be really aligned with the way that I work and kind of like what the vision that I had was coming and presenting this food show that they had. And then they were like, well, you know, guess who our host is? And when they said it was Valerie Lomas, of course, I was super excited because I felt like, you know, you had such a vast and creative and interesting perspective of like how you really undertake your food and how you kind of bake and teach. And one of the feedbacks that I really received as we were developing it, the show and everything like that, was the fact that a lot of your audience is very engaged, right? Like a lot of your audience love to ask you questions. And one of the things that you do really well is kind of like teach through your process. And when we took the undertaking to understand like how can we actually take what you do naturally and really develop that into, you know, a show that can kind of like run and not just, you know, and be really engaging, it was natural that what came up was like having your questions lead kind of the recipes and things like that that you're able to present. And so throughout the development process, it was a collaborative experience and process with the Discovery team and my team to kind of figure out how we really bring that to life, right? And
yeah.
Valerie Bakes Your Questions was one of the first names that obviously sticks because it is a very authentic approach to audience engagement, right? It's like we always get those inboxes. I'm sure your DMs are crazy. It's like, how do you do this and how do you do that? So when we have your episodes driven by direct questions and engagement from your audience, it makes it a natural kind of, you know, development process, right? What are the things, you know, like I know Pie Crust was a big thing for you, right? Your audiences love to understand like, okay, how do I not screw this up, right? Like, how do I do this better?
Everybody likes to talk about pie crust,
right?
Especially because, you know, it's interesting because the show actually launched last month, and I know we haven't really talked a lot about it on this podcast yet, which is exciting that we get to talk about it a bit today. But we were definitely gathering questions during the holiday season where I think people, I mean, obviously like the holidays is where it's like everyone really is baking. People who like don't bake ever, and 100%. I know they don't bake ever because I'm friends with them. They start baking during the holidays. Like they are literally like buying pie plates and rolling pins. And I'm like, whoa, girl, okay. So we actually developed the show like late fall, thinking it would be a holiday show. We should kind of touch on how it was that we were able to shoot the show, obviously, like kind of in the middle of like a surging pandemic, because there were like such amazing safety precautions taken. And like, I've been on other sets since, and I have to say that like, Nicole, on your set, it was like not a game. It was like very serious.
So we take it very seriously because I think, you know, we really try and make sure that everybody feels safe, right? Like not all the time is it about just, you know, like showing up, but it's everybody has to feel like that when they are on their job, and when everybody is like, you know, placed in such a risky situation like a pandemic, you know, we want to make sure that everybody that's involved feels safe enough that, you know, we have taken every single precaution, like you said, and implemented, you know, across the board. And before we delve into, you know, how we got there, it was quite interesting, you know, like to your point where we started developing this, you know, like what was that, August, September, October, you know, where we really started getting into it. And it initially started as a, you know, that your first season would have been developed in throughout the holiday season. And you're absolutely correct. The holiday season, you know, there's a spike in baking. Even myself, when I was a young kid, you know, my grandmother, that was like our tradition, right? Like cookies, like we stacked bins and bins of cookies for the holiday season. And so, and throughout the year, nobody has really time for it or can think about it. And
unless you're me, in which case,
which I love, and you know, what was really fun about your show is that we wanted to give the viewers a treat during that time because we went through such a, you know, we just made it out of a very tough year, you know, and 2020 and all of the pressure that everybody was facing, and even throughout the isolation, that the holidays might not be one of the happiest times for everybody. It was like it gave us an opportunity to see how can we get, you know, add a little cherry on top, you know, and how can we kind of like create, you know, in an environment and a circumstances that can kind of like, you know, make it a little easier to deal with the holidays, especially when we are in isolation. And some of the ideas were super fun, right? Like, you know, like your little helpers, that's how we initially wanted to integrate your niece. Like, how can you do these little activities through FaceTime? How can you really have friends and, you know, these Zoom rooms that we have, and, you know, perhaps come up with a fun way of integrating the distance but still feel close. And I think one of the biggest questions that you had, and like not just the biggest but like the most oftenly asked question, was like, how do I ship cookies and keep them fresh? And so a lot of our ideas, we kind of like structured around that, but we wanted to make sure that we stayed authentic to your style and your connection to your audience, and how are we able to do that and have your voice be, you know, heard throughout your process. And we were excited. I mean, it looked so great, like the ideas, and also, you know, obviously collaborating with you and some of the recipes that you were able to come up with. We were super excited to be able to launch that over the holidays. Unfortunately, as luck would have it, you know, we had a snafu with, you know, a COVID run-in, and we had to postpone the shoot, as you know. And what with our partners at Food Network and Discovery was so great, you know, great to work with and accommodating to throughout the whole process, including yourself, that we all kind of pivoted within moments, you know, and we're able to kind of like figure out an entirely new undertaking, and hence why we launched in March, and making sure that, because we found out that somebody was COVID positive, like during our testing. We were supposed to shoot on the Tuesday, and we had our testing done throughout the weekend. We had nurses sent to each person's house, and one test came back, you know, positive, and we had to kind of like make that executive call and see if we can push it a couple of days. So here we are, launching in March, and I think everything worked out beautifully. I think the pivot was necessary, because there was so much more things that we were able to kind of like bring into play. Even your mom's, you know, peach cobbler was able to be a part of the show. Your niece was able to be there, and we were able to send her Valentine's Day cookies.
Yeah. If you haven't been tuning in, I really hope you guys check out the series that we made. It's available in a couple of different places. You can actually find all of the episodes on the Food Network's main website, just foodnetwork.com, or, you know, you could just Google Valerie Bakes Your Questions Food Network, and it will take you right there. They have the full playlist of each of the 6 episodes, and you can also find it at its proper home, which is the Food Network Kitchen app. And with the app, if you just look under shows, all of the shows are in alphabetical order, and you can see it there, and you can stream it. You can actually, what is it called when you put it on your, when you watch it on your phone and you put it on your television, you can like Chromecast it
or
however you do that, which is actually pretty cool, because I don't have a television at home, but I did that at my sister's house, and you can really experience like the amazing photography and like the video components and aesthetic when you see it on like the larger screen. So I hope you guys check that out. And as Nicole mentioned, my niece, we were able to incorporate her into one of the episodes. And, you know, given that she's 2 and she's not fully in control of her own schedule, Nicole, and you were so accommodating with like being flexible with making that work. So can you maybe talk us a little bit through a little bit of your creative process? Because for each of the episodes and just like the overall aesthetic of the series, I mean, you really, so much of that was like kind of like your vision. So like, Tell us about that. And just like in general, like, how are you so damn creative, girl?
Oh my God. Thank you, for saying that. But I think, you know, a lot of times during my creative process, I like to follow and pay attention to really what has been put in front of me. And in your case, you know, you were my subject, right? Like, how do I create this painting and kind of like the aesthetic and feeling and aura around you that already exists? All I have to do is kind of like pull it out. I think that is the core of creating content around somebody that's, you know, that when you don't go in with a script and you work with non-actors or somebody that's trying to portray their talents, what you do is you follow their lead, you know, and you make sure that their personality and their look and feel and who they truly are comes across on screen. Because when you do the opposite, things come through inauthentic, and you try to create a mold that is not necessarily there. And, you know, everything can become really discombobulated, and the viewers can kind of like see that and feel that come across through the screen. What I was able to do with you and my team is really have a conversation about, like, I think one of the things that comes through so vividly with you is your colors, right? Like, you love bright colors and you're not afraid of it. And you're not afraid of it.
I love colors. I love, like, bright pink and purple. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And, you know, that was one of the first things that I noticed. And, you know, even through your aesthetic and how you choose to represent, like, some of the food that you bake, you know, and things like that. It was very, you know, straightforward. Like, there's an elegance to you, there's a fun, playful, mature side to you, but there's also this inner child of yours, you know, especially when you come in with your sweet things and, you know, you kind of like explore your taste buds in all kinds of ways, even through your explorations and traveling and things like that, or taking risks like leaving your career in law to kind of pursue your passion. All those things played a part into what does a show look like for Valerie, you know? And when we sat throughout the development process, it was figuring out not just how do we get the content across, but how do we make it visually appealing, right? And so, you know, Kane, who was on our set design team, you know, we talked a lot about, like, let it come through in hints, you know, I feel like, you know, like, sometimes less is more, right? Mm-hmm. And you saw, like, some of the stuff and the accents that we chose were in contrast, but yet they worked so well together, you know, like, we might have, you know, your clementines and orange in a pink bowl, you know, and, like, it's not, you know, we didn't try and go all the way, you know, left and try to create like a whole red kitchen, you know, but we used little things to kind of like lead and leave room also even for you and your wardrobe and makeup to explore the colors so that all facets can work together, you know? And I think that's really the beautiful thing that we try to do. Like, you know, it's not just one person. I'm not just the creative one, you know, but the entire team is. Everybody works together to form, you know, like, what the end product looks like. And all I have to do is, like, kind of like have this idea and perspective of, like, you know, what does a half drank, you know, bottle of rosé look like on your, you know, on your next to your lemon pound cake, right? Like,
right.
the feeling of you, like, unity was a big thing for us, and the feeling of coming together to enjoy some of life's sweet moments was a big thing. And I think one thing that the Discovery team kind of gravitated towards me for to bring out in your story is making sure that, you know, we get to understand and learn more about you, you know. And during our process and when we work together, you know, those were the conversations you and I had in the green room, right? Like,
right.
How do you know, what are the stories that you want to bring across? What makes this recipe uniquely, you know, you? And why does somebody else not want to take a generic recipe? But, you know, because everybody, you know, knows how to bake a pound cake, but what is the difference between, you know, Valerie's pound cake or lemon pound cake and somebody else's, you know? And sometimes people, like, I've had people watch the show on my end and was like, oh my God, I'm making this because I have the same memory, you know, like, like, my grandmother used to do this, you know, or, you know, and it's like, oh, this is how I can do this. This seems so much easier, you know, and she's so relatable. And I think those are the little things and tidbits that go into before we even get on set, you know, of like trying to figure out. The biggest thing is always, what is our intent, right? Like, what is our intention? What do we want to get out? And what is the goal when a viewer views this? Because there are, like you said, like, a lot of food shows and, you know, and they're great and we're all engaged, but, like, you are uniquely you, and why and what kind of, like, do we need to do to get that across on the screen? So in a nutshell, that's kind of like the process to work through getting to a final product and, you know, getting something that's cinematically appealing. The team worked really hard on the lighting and, you know, paid attention to small details and all that kind of stuff. So I think, you know, it was a well-oiled machine to be able to work with you on this show.
Yeah. And I have to say, I think maybe the greatest feedback I got was about the wardrobe selections.
I love it.
And I know that, like, you have a great wardrobe stylist that you work with, but I also know that you were the person giving her direction. I know that because...
Because you saw the decks leading up to it.
Exactly. And she was very clear. And I, like, it's so funny because there is this rainbow sequin duster that I wore for these social media clips that we made for Food Network and Food Network Kitchen social media channels, where we are, you know, giving tips on holiday baking. Mm-hmm. And I remember when Natasha came to my house, she came with like, I don't even know how many gigantic bags of clothes and shoes. And we spent hours trying on clothes, which might sound fun, but like, it's actually,
it's really taxing,
really hard work. But when she pulled out the sequin duster, I was just like, no way. And she was like, oh, you know, I know Nicole's looking for something like flamboyant. And we were like, she was like, oh, it's, so it's either going to be the sequin duster or I ordered a tutu, but I don't know if the tutu will be here. And I'm like, oh my God, a tutu is like speaking to me. But, you know, eventually, like, I did try on the duster and I was like, okay, maybe we can work with this. And that sequin duster ended up being like
the biggest highlight of the show.
The highlight, like, seriously, the highlight. So like, I really find it so interesting, Nicole, that like, as a creative person, you were just able to kind of like look at me like before even like properly meeting me. And we didn't meet till we got on set because of COVID. We had only met via Zoom.
Right.
And the fact that like you knew I was the kind of girl that wants to spin around in the kitchen in a tutu. And like you somehow knew that like, or you were able to give direction to Natasha Hester, who was the wardrobe stylist, so that she saw that like ridiculously like flamboyant ended up being like so gorgeously perfect rainbow sequin duster. Like it's just, it's, yeah, I was just really, I felt, and like, I feel like working with you guys, when it came to like hair and makeup, like I was like, okay, these are two Black women. They're going to take care of me. I felt like, you know, that you guys just like kind of knew exactly what it was that I needed, like with hairstyling and with all of that kind of stuff.
100%. I think, you know, that's something that I put, you know, great emphasis on, especially, you know, in the industry that we work in and the things that, you know, we, you know, undertake. As a Black woman, when I am on set or doing these productions, if you go to my website, like you'll see most of my work is dedicated to presenting Black women in the light they deserve to be seen, you know? And I think, you know, that goes into play from, you know, soups to nuts, you know, like, and so that is a part of our process, you know, like, I think I've always wanted to see that and I've always wanted to be a part of it. And now that I'm in a position to be a part of it, I'm grateful for clients that allow that, you know, and that can also put, you know, connect the dots. You know, if we talk about Liz Olenoff, like that was on the Discovery team side, she was able to connect the dots and say, like, Nicole and Valerie will be a great match, you know? And I think making sure that people in positions that have the opportunity to be able to put two people together in the realm of, you know, making decisions, like, you know, I can't just walk in there and say like, hey, I'm going to be on your team or vice versa. You know, there is sometimes that middle person that kind of has to have that vision as well. So say all that to say that, you know, like, I'm so grateful that you felt taken care of, you know, like it could have been disastrous, right? Like you could have walked on a set and be like, I can't believe they didn't get me, you know? And I'm grateful that, you know, we've had the ample amount of conversation that was necessary to be able to get something accomplished that was, you know, that was appeasing to you. And I think one of the biggest things that, you know, as production runs, we were able to kind of like, pull each other aside on the first day. Like you said, we met on set and really delve into, you know, the entire series, right? Like talk from beginning to end, you know, like Jasmine, who's also, you know, like my right hand girl on set was like trying to figure out, all right, how do we best accommodate you? But right. What do you need? How do we provide that? And how do we bring your vision to life? whatever you need to make you to feel comfortable to bring your most authentic self to the screen is what we need to do. And when it comes to being able to see, right, like how or recognize, how do I know that you would love a tutu dancing, you know, twirling in the kitchen? And how do I even incorporate that in a cooking show or a baking show, you know? It's really, like I said, when you just get still and listen, you know, you see things that other people might miss because they're so ready to bring their own vision to life, right? I think in that regard, I have an immense amount of reverence when it comes to working with talent. You know, it's listening to the small little hints that they drop, your giggle and your laugh and your, you know, like gregariousness and, you know, being in the same room with you, well, albeit through Zoom, it came across, you know? And so, what's that?
I just thought, wow, I'm always so impressed by producers. It really is like, it really takes a certain type of person. And yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. No, and it, you know, and it was a great joy. I think you were able, like, even after we, you know, everything went live and the client was super happy, the fact that they came back and was even saying, like, you know, we're ready for season two whenever you guys are, that's exciting. You know, that's kind of like the lasting impression that we want to leave in anything that we do, you know? And even shortly after, right, like, we almost had an opportunity to work on something completely different as well, just because they saw our chemistry that came across throughout the series, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to kind of grow in this era during COVID and after it, because, like you said, you know, we don't necessarily, I don't get to spend, you know, an ample amount of time with you in person and feeling and, you know, going through all of that kind of stuff. It's kind of like really understanding, you know, what it really takes now to do things through the screen, you know, and yeah. Does it make things easier or harder? Who knows, you know, but we did it. We did it.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break and we will be right back with more from Nicole.
This episode is brought to you by Just Egg. You can't have plant-based breakfast without a plant-based egg. Just Egg is now the fastest growing egg brand in the United States. Bring more plant-based customers into your doors with easy-to-use Just Egg. You can get started with a free sample. Just head to ju.st/hrn. Made from plants, Just Egg is a better egg for you and for the planet. It's healthier, with no cholesterol and less saturated fat. And it's more sustainable. Just Egg uses less water and generates fewer carbon emissions. Most importantly, it's delicious. For our listeners who operate a food service establishment, you can get a sample for free. Head to ju.st/hrn. Just Egg makes a delicious plant-based addition to any menu. It's available as a liquid scramble, great for omelets, frittatas, stir fries, and French toast. There's also frozen, pre-baked folded version that's ideal for filling breakfast sandwiches or topping salads. Chef Jose Andres called Just Egg mind-blowing, and Bon Appetit says, "So good, I feel guilty eating it." Put the fastest growing egg brand on your menu. Get a free sample of Just Egg for your restaurant at ju.st/hrn.
And we're back. You're listening to Why Food, and our guest this week is Nicole January, producer, director, and founder of January First, Inc. Nicole, you've had a long and really interesting career in video TV production, and obviously the project that you and Valerie worked on together, which was beautiful, by the way,
Ethan watched an episode with me.
I did. Hey. I've watched several episodes. And it's right. So that is focused on food, but you've done all kinds of things. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you got started, how you got into this industry?
Yeah, I mean, you know, hailing from Swakopmund, Namibia, which is a very, very small town in Africa, I always knew that I wanted to do something in the creative realm, not knowing necessarily what exactly that is. But I always had an affinity between, you know, for the theater and the arts and things like that. I was as a kid, I was always like performing and teaching, like, you know, scripts and things like that. I can tell you guys, take you guys down a rabbit hole of, you know, just the work that I did with, you know, in orphanages and underprivileged kids, and how to kind of like take them out of off of the street and keep them busy through being immersed in creating. At the time, that wasn't content. Content wasn't known in that way. If you think about 15 years, you know, 16, 17 years ago, like nobody knew about that when we were in high school, of like picking up your phone and creating a piece of content. But, you know, having plays and after school programs and things like that was a big part of that. But I realized and recognized that there, you know, that there was a bigger undertaking that I wanted to kind of like do. And when I first laid my eyes or kind of like experienced doing branded content, I felt like, you know, there was a kindred spirit I met almost, because brands were starting to explore what it means to tell authentic stories while having their brand kind of like in the background or even the, in the forefront. But how do they do that authentically? And when I first started out within my career, that was like in the kind of like in the beginning of that, you know, and it was exciting to be able to understand how do you tell a brand story authentically through stories and individuals that aren't necessarily always on screen, which means that you're working with a lot of non-actors. It kind of catapulted me into storytelling on, like I said earlier, in the process of listening, right? And then learning and following, you know, the direction of the people that whose stories that you're trying to tell. And so fast forward, you know, like, I always loved, you know, music programming and, like I said, content creation. So one of my jobs was working for Essence Festival. And that kind of like grew from being a coordinator in there to executive producer to running their video department for Essence Festival. And so working with artists and telling their stories and working in an exciting environment and for Black women in that regard really, really, really inspired, you know, the trajectory of where it was going to go for the foreseeable future. When I started my company January 1st, naming it January 1st was like not just after my last name, but because of the history that my last name held, I felt it was necessary to tell that story, especially in the time and age that we're currently living. When I was a young girl, one thing that my dad always said is like, you know, well, you know, you look at me, I'm doing okay. My granddad or my father said that you need to do better than the next and you need to do it better than the next. Everybody has heard that story prior to that. We shouldn't always start from the bottom. You should start from a place of inspiration of what your forefathers and ancestors have left behind for you. And when we were younger, we always got told what our family story was and where our last name came from. And this was coming from, you know, my great, great, great grandfather, unfortunately, I don't know the amount of greats go, was a slave. And he was set free on the 1st of January. And when he, as you know, the history between slaves, you know, what your last name is always based on your plantation name or your owner who owned you at the time. And he understood at the time, he's like, okay, when they asked him, what do you want your last name to be? He could finally declare what it was or what it could be. He couldn't think of anything else but like understanding and celebrating that the day he was free. And it was in January. And he's like, January 1st, I think everybody would always, whoever comes after me, will continue to declare that you have freedom to pursue whatever the future holds for you. And I just felt it was necessary to tell that story. And I felt compelled to call my company and the journey that I am now, you know, embarking on and building and celebrating even Black women in the way that the content that I create and immerse myself into does. That was necessary for me to tell that story as I proceed.
Wow, what an incredible story.
Thank you.
Yeah, I love the strength and power in your name and how, you know, it was created with such intention. And I feel like you bring that same level of like tenacity and intention to your work.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you. That means a lot, Valerie.
And I do feel like, you know, our ancestors especially really understood the power of names and naming things. And I feel 100%. Like it's like just a part of that manifesting something. So that's like such an awesome story. Nicole, let's talk about the food, because I know that like you obviously are someone who has great vision and you can produce the hell out of things. Let's talk about food, because you did end up on this food production. Do you enjoy cooking? Do you enjoy baking? And like, what did we bake on set that you liked the most?
Right. Like, why food, right?
What food?
Right? No, I adore like every single recipe that you undertook on set. And honest to God, my favorite is obviously lemon pound cake. I am addicted to lemon pound cake. It's probably the only dessert that I've ever found myself at 2 a.m. like literally looking up at 24-hour Starbucks to figure out where is the lemon pound, the iced lemon pound cake.
Listen, okay, Starbucks, they do have some good lemon pound cake, because back when I had my lawyer job, like I would go to Starbucks, get my chai latte and a piece of lemon pound cake, and that would be like breakfast and lunch.
Literally we're twins there.
Yes, but like, I think the lemon pound cake episode we did and the recipe that I shared really resonated with people, because I swear, within like 24 hours of us promoting that one, I had like people who I like only know tangentially, like, oh, went to like medical school with my sister, like texting me pictures of their lemon pound cake.
Really? And oh my God.
I didn't know you baked.
That's amazing. So
I really think, you know, first of all, everybody loves pound cake, and like I love lemon desserts. If anyone knows me at all, you know my like lemons to lemon curd kind of little saying. And I don't like stuff that's super sweet. So I feel like lemon as a flavor in a dessert, it just balances everything out. So I feel like that recipe was great. And listen, any time where I'm telling stories about my dad telling stories is like, that's always like something that's like kind of funny and interesting. And, you know, if you guys need to watch the episode, but my dad, he did tell me that if you are going to consider yourself a proper Southern woman, you need to know how to make a good pound cake. So
that's hilarious.
I love that you loved that recipe. And
I loved it.
What was it like being on a set, like where you're like surrounded by food, but can't necessarily partake in it? Because you're like
mouth-watering torture. But I mean, obviously, like, it's funny because the whispers even on set were like, oh, my God, I can't like stand this. This is frustrating. And you don't even want to understand what it was like in the post side of things. My editors were literally constantly being like, I am starving. I'm going to bake this cake right now. And they would literally repurpose some of the recipes that they were working on and go out and cook it. So it was like, or bake it. And it was hilarious. Like, they were like, I can't, like, listen, Nicole, can I take a break? Because I'm starving. I can't work on this, you know, chocolate fish truffle any longer. And so I think, you know, it came across a lot of it came across as far as like making you starving and wanting to bake. I said that from the get, like, as we were working together and developing these recipes, it's, you know, it comes as, it's almost natural, like, you know, to be like, all right, I'm going to go out and get myself a mixer, you know, I'm going to be a star baker, you know, because make it look so easy.
No, that's such a great point about post-production, because it's so interesting when you are, you know, what's called quote unquote the talent. It's like, I got to show up after you guys had like spent an entire day, like getting the entire set together I like showed up and Nicole just has these like beautiful scripts ready for me, like, you know, based off of our previous conversations. It wasn't like, you know, this is a whole, you know, written show. No, but it was, you know, bullet points and, you know, stories I had told Nicole I wanted to incorporate. And it's like, I come in, I have breakfast, I sit down in the chair and Walton starts putting makeup on me, doing my hair. And like, I was just able to enjoy the process so much. And like thinking about like what happens in post and what happens with editing isn't really something that like you can physically see on set because it's not happening yet.
Right.
So like, thank you for even mentioning that. And I love that, like the crew, like at the end of the day, they did get to eat the lemon pound cake, but I didn't think about the editors and how they did.
Yes, they didn't unfortunately get to partake, but I loved every part of it because it was really an experience. Because, you know, we didn't finish post until like we were working throughout on it throughout Thanksgiving all the way right before Christmas. And then we picked up in the top of the year. So while everybody was offset with it, like I still had two main editors dedicated to the show outside of, you know, the color grading team and audio mixing. So yeah, you had a whole, you know, production happening for you.
Girl. I honestly didn't know the scale of it, I think, until I got to set. And I was like, oh my God, this is a little intimidating. And it's so interesting because it's like when you are on set in the times of a pandemic, everyone is wearing a mask. And, right. You know, I'm just sitting there at the little island in the gorgeous kitchen that, you know, Kane styled. And it's like, okay, go. And I'm like trying to like talk and connect with people. But if people have on masks, it's like so much harder to like even have those connections with the crew. Cause I'm looking at like, you know, the camera person and I want a laugh or I want a smile.
Right. And you know,
all
and
you
it's
see
funny.
Is masks. So
I know I've definitely experienced that. That's one of the biggest challenges because, or have been told. And I know that, you know, you and I had to deal and work through that because feedback is one of the, you know, biggest affirmations that you have, especially when you're feeling, you know, intimidated, looking like 20 people looking back at you, you know, like standing there and nobody can move, you know, you feel like you want to see those visual cues from somebody, you know, right, telling you that you're doing something the right way. And, to your point, masks have kind of like taken that, you know, that aspect away from us. And it is kind of tough because they can't respond audibly and you can't see them smile. And I think, you know, what was cute that everybody was, you know, like because we spent so much time together because, you know, we had to get tested and stay quarantined and we shot throughout, you know, like I think it was 5 days that we were all together. It was like every single time we cut, you know, that you just heard the affirmations from them, right? Verbally, yeah. Saying like, oh my God, please don't look at our masks. Like we're all enjoying this. This is super fun. And that was super helpful. I think your grading technique that you had, everybody was like, oh my God, when we said cut, everybody is like, what? I'm going to use that for good, you know, for life, because there were so many different, you know, like hints and things like that. Even Carl, who was our DP, went home and he was like telling his wife some of the things, and she was so excited to even learn second-handedly from him. So I want to, you know, just encourage you that, you know, like everything that you were able to provide, whether that came through the screen and people were watching it, or whether it was on set and, you know, and the people that you touched during our production process, it was really, you know, you touched hearts and minds, and techniques were spread. So it was really an awesome experience.
Yeah. And, you know, I really hope people can take some time to watch a few of the episodes. And if you do, you know, definitely give us some feedback, you know, hit me up at Foodie in New York, leave a comment. I have tons of not tons, but I have, you know, several posts about the show. Would just love to hear feedback about what you guys think. And also give us your questions for next season, right?
Oh my gosh. We're super excited to get more of those questions. I think once we get, you know, going again, you know, we'll see what the even I think what would be really cool is if your viewers can share like the topics that they want to address. I think one of the ideas that we had was like national holidays, which was what would have been a great, you know, undertaking because there's so many holidays.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it would be really cool to understand like what are you baking next, you know, to push your boundaries, Valerie. Yeah. You understand? See what you can kind of teach us next would be super fun.
Yeah. Okay, Ethan, if COVID regulations, you know, if we can get on the other side of this, I don't know. I might have to have you as one of our guests next season and teach you to bake something.
I'll just be a taster guest. I don't even need to. I'll just wait in the corner for you to be finished cooking, and then you know this is pretty good. Or this.
I would love that. We need like the idea of like being able to have like guests on set. That just sounds like so much fun.
I know.
We're gonna party, and like I will say one thing Nicole did, like because like I said, you know, I walked out and I was like, oh shit, this is real. We did. We might have had mimosas the second day. I don't know. That might have happened.
I will neither confirm or deny.
Mimosas may have happened.
Nicole, where can our listeners learn more about your work and follow you on social media?
Yeah, 100%. So for social media, you can follow me at Nicole January. That is NicoleJanuarie, not a Y, but IE. That's my personal IG. January 1st is the Instagram channel for January 1st. And then most of my work can be seen on January1st.com as www.januaryfirst.com. And then you'll be able to see like all of the beautiful work that we've been able to do with beautiful people like Valerie.
Amazing. And as always, you can reach us by email, whyfood@heritageradionetwork.org and whyfoodpodcast on Instagram. You can follow me via my spice company, Burlap and Barrel, at Burlap and Barrel on Instagram.
And you can follow me on social at Foodie in New York.
And Val, what's the website to watch the videos?
To watch the show, you can go to foodnetwork.com and just search Valerie Bakes Your Questions, or you can literally put it in Google, Valerie Bakes Your Questions Food Network, and it'll take you right to the Food Network website. And if you have the Food Network Kitchen app, you can just look it up under shows, under the letter V for Valerie. And if you don't have the Food Network Kitchen app, you can download it because it is actually really awesome. And I think it's fun to watch it through the app because it's kind of more of like the interface of, you know, what the show was kind of designed to look like as far as each episode. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks to Armin Spengen, our amazing sound engineer. Thanks to the Red Crickets for our theme song, Blind. And most of all, Nicole, thank you. Thank you for joining us. This is such a fascinating conversation and what a great way to announce Valerie's new series.
Yay, this was super fun, guys. Thank you so much for thinking of me and having me on the show. I look forward to listening to all of the amazing other people that you guys are interviewing and the stuff that you're covering.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Nicole, and everyone. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Why Food is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork.
Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.